Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. Near the back of your Bible there, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. 1 John, incredible book. And chapter 4, if you would stand for the reading of the Word. I'm going to read verses 10 through 19. We're really going to focus on one basic idea here and not explore all of this text, but it really kind of all points to the same thing in conclusion. I'll read verses 10 through 19, and we will call today's message, Developing Your Devotion. What do you do when you just feel flat? What do you do when you know you're supposed to do this, and you're going to do it, and so you do it, but you don't really feel like doing it? How can you make yourself want to? Yeah, because people have all these vague notions, and they put things out there, and it sounds good, but it doesn't really anchor with you. How can you get it to stick? This text is going to tell us how. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 through 19. Our friend Steve, our Sunday school teacher and a blessed man of God, and this is his favorite text of Scripture right here. But I'm not going where you're expecting at all, Steve. But boy, this is a good text. 1 John 4, 10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us. And sent His Son to be the propitiation, the thing that made us favorable to God, right? The payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He's given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Your version may say, we love him because he first loved us. Heavenly Father, show us your glory. Reveal your love to our hearts now that it might explode our love for you. Shed abroad that love in our hearts. Make that reciprocal. We love you because you first loved us. No matter where we are, inflame us, Lord. In Jesus' name, for your glory and in your name, amen. You may be seated. What do you do when you know you're supposed to do something and you just don't feel like doing it? And there's that word called duty or ought or must, right? And sometimes you can will yourself to do it. I've got to take out the trash because the trash is coming tomorrow. It's got old meat and bananas in it, and my wife will spank me otherwise. And so I feel like doing it because I don't feel like the punishment, and so I do it. But, am I really feeling the devotion of doing it? Because that can only last so long. What happens when the fear is nothing? What happens when she's out of town? Well, the dishes pile up, and then I think, I'm not going to let the dishes pile up. I'll just order out every day. Or something like that, right? We try to find ways around being dutiful, although a lot of times, and it's not wrong to be dutiful. If you need to do it, do it. I'm going to say it out loud. I want you to listen to the briefing every Monday through Friday from Al Mullen. If you're not doing it, you are missing something about your discipleship. Current news and events from a Christian worldview, from the head of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Do I agree with everything he says? No. Is he probably right and I'm probably wrong? Yes. I want you to read Table Talk Magazine. It comes for free. They go through text. It's deep. It's wonderful. And you can handle it. And you need to up your game anyway. From Ligonier Ministries. Right? I'm not going to beat on you and say you need to pray 2 hours a day. You need to give this amount. Well, I will say you need. No, I won't. But you got to do all these things, and we know that. But then there's the busyness of life. I mean, I've got to go to work, otherwise I will not get paid, and we won't have this, and yes, yes, yes. And so sometimes you have to because of fear, or you just have to because it's duty, and all of that. But see, when it comes to God, we know he loves us, and we know that, you know, I can't make you do anything. Well, I can make you, but I'd get thrown in jail. People say that all the time, you know, you can't make me do it. Yes, I can make you do it. Or you can't tell me what to do. Yes, I can tell you. You don't have to do it. But that's my living. I'm telling you what to do, what God says to do. But a lot of times we don't really want to do it. Now, is it right to do it anyway? Well, of course it is. But doesn't it wane over time? When you feel like, okay, Ed's getting honest to come to Sunday night. I'll come to Sunday night. 5-6 weeks, it's pretty good. And then, you know, it's like, well, you know, it's the same thing. He repeats himself and all that. I'm ahead of the class, or I can't read those notes at all. Oh, so you know. And we're thinking, or, you know, it was Steve at Sunday school, and I'm like, you guys have no idea how smart and how wise and how better he's getting at doing this and how good the videos are and how he's able to do it. But you think, well, he's like JD. He gets on something that incites him, and then he just goes off with that, which him and I talk all the time about that. Steve, make sure that everybody's with you. But then you think, I'm just not going to do it, right? And so we have all kinds of things in our life, in our spiritual life, and we think, how am I going to do it? And then we hear something like this, which is a very good quote that someone sent to my wife today, and it's by a local man, actually, but he's a famous man. Dr. James Gills is the one that invented this cataract surgery. He's world famous. St. Luke's down south a little bit here, and he's a mighty man of God, and he's written several books, and I believe this comes out of Dynamics of Worship. And this is a good quote, and there's a lot of truth in it. But I know how I look at certain things, and I feel weak, and I think, oh, now I just feel convicted. Now it just makes me feel worse. Oh, he's trying to motivate you. And there's good stuff here. It says, if we pray by will alone, we don't have a full relationship with God. We can will ourselves to go to church, read his word, and pray. But unless our heart is inclined to God, and we love him, we don't accomplish much. When we will ourselves to do it, we depend on our own strength, and then we dry up and become discouraged. Teenagers on Wednesday night, ooh. Ones that say they're going to be there and they're not, ooh. You see, we can feel guilty all the time, but here, continue to hear. We dry up and we become discouraged. It requires greater effort, and we get tired, and we want to give up. I can answer myself here, you know. Certain weeks we'll have that, you know, 150 people, and the place is packed. Certain places we'll have 50 people, and I can't come this, I can't do this, that, and other thing. And I'm like, you've made it 3 out of the last 11 weeks, and you think you're here all the time. You're not, Right, and I make myself feel bad. Then where's, and I go, okay, I've got to be here. Just once I'd like to say, my stomach doesn't feel good, I'm not here. But then, of course, you shout, we pay you. Yeah, I know. But see, we all have this. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor or you're a student or anything like that. But then you read this, and he's trying to say good things, and he's right. He's right. Now, it says, because we love our Lord that we worship him, read his word, and pray. These actions come from a deep passion we feel when our heart is inclined to God. And when we're abiding in the Holy Spirit, our life is changing. We desire to do his work and his will. Okay, so it sounds good. We desire to do his work and his will, and then we're doing it, and it's not in the spirit. It's not in the flesh. It's in the spirit. But there's a problem here. How do you do that? How do you incline your heart to God? That's doing the things that he's already said that they're supposed to do and you don't do anyway. Read my Bible, pray, and all that? Yeah. Well, I already don't feel like doing that. And if you eat your broccoli, you'll like broccoli, and you'll like broccoli. I'm not going to start with broccoli at all. So what do you do there? And there's something in this text, and it's repeated over and over again, that I want to give to you today, that the text gives you today. Again, thank you, Dr. Gills, and he again, he's right. But you come to this point where you're like, yes, but my heart isn't inclined to God. That is the problem in the first place. So, what do? It's something that happens to you, something you realize. When my wife was out in Oklahoma, the birth of our newest grandbaby, number 8, little Olive Margie for my wife, go forth. And it was February the 13th. And we were doing some FaceTime when they got back home. Or it was sometime. She was out there for 12 days. I was lost in a world of burritos. But something happened. Now we have a 2-year-old, Vera, as well. And you know, when she was here last year and I kept telling you we're praying for her to really actually love me, not just do it out of duty like, okay, I'm going to get passed around to Papa, oh boy, that she would actually come running to me and all of that. And we see little bits of that, and you just wonder, did I really make an impact? Did I really make an impact with these kids? Did I really make an impact with my wife? Did I really make an impact with my granddaughter? And I developed this little game where I just be walking, I go, oh, and fall on the ground, actually on a bed, because I didn't want her to hurt herself. And she started doing it with my wife and all that, and it was just really cute, and I have this cute video, and I watch it every single day. And I mean, she mimics her, the way she moves and all that, and it's just so wonderful. And I feel this love, and it's fantastic. Well, we did this FaceTime, and it became Vera Vision. She grabbed it and ran around streaking and laughing, papa, and looking at that, and I loved it. And she was all about shaky camera, you know, like, and all this, and she was in various states of undress. It was just really weird. And she was like going around, just having fun with her papa. And she remembered me. She remembered my name, and I just felt that love that I wanted was there. We even have a picture of them taking a picture of her looking at the camera on her little seesaw thing and just looking at me and my reflection. And what happened there is I already loved her. I already knew that I loved her. But now I loved her even more because she showed her love for me. And there's a young person here. I don't have to mention them by name, but I'm sure they know who they are. When I first met this person, you know, we just sort of connected. And this person said something very nice about me that actually hit one of my insecurities. And they didn't know they were talking to somebody else. And just from that moment, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, she thinks I'm Superman. She cares about me. And so then it was like, boom, I love you. It just, I was just like, oh, that's it. I'm going to the wall. It doesn't matter. I imagined myself, you know, rocks falling on her, and I was like, I'll save you, you know, right? You had this love that just wells up inside of you. It's like when you're with your husband or your wife or some other loved one, and they just boom. Now, I can think of my deceased father-in-law. And when little Erin, who's now going to be 11 this year, when she was 3 and I got her for Christmas and we were at the catfish pad in Tallahassee. I don't go to Tallahassee otherwise. Anyway, we were there. Come on, Gators. Anyway, we were there and he was trying to connect with her. Didn't happen. Margie wasn't there because I was going to get him. And all of a sudden, at the end, Daddy Jack put his hands out and got to one knee and she ran across the parking lot and gave him a big old hug. And it was like, I mean, he had just brought tears to his eyes. And then he had already loved her with just an undying love. No question about it. He's just, you know, great-granddaughter. But then that love came pouring out even more. And this is what I want to tell you. Verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. You can see it all throughout the text there. This is how we know that he's come to love us, because he sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. This is how we know. And so we know God's love. But the key to focus on when you are not feeling it, right, is to understand, like it says in Romans 5, when we go through these trials, but they produce these feelings, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts once again. And it's a reciprocal thing. We love him more when we sense his love for us. And so it's you study his love for you. You think about the cross. You think about what he has done and what he's doing and what he will do. And I can't make it magically happen for you. I know this, that in those moments when I most want to serve God and I most want to love God and I most want to follow God and do what's right and be obedient and get rid of that sin and do all this, is when I see him as so lovely and so potent and so just all over me with his love that I want to love him back. Right? You know how it is when someone says, you're good looking. All of a sudden, they look better to you. Right? Because you love them, right? And you've been married 30 and 40 and 50 years, and you're like, hey, good looking. Right? And it's like, yeah, yeah. You want to give love when you've received love. There it is right there. That is the bedrock biblical principle. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And we know that for our salvation and all that. But what happens when it's, you know, 30 years later? And the church just isn't exciting me right now. And people are leaving, or I don't have enough money, or, you know, my loved one has passed away. I don't want to go to church. I don't. What do you do when you don't want to go to church? Forget the pastor. Forget all these other people. Don't think about them. I mean, you do. You love your brothers. That's what it says in the text. But you think first on Jesus. Don't guilt yourself and say, well, I know I got to go. Jesus loved me. That's like when your dad said, there'd be people over in Africa that would eat the kid, take their arm off to eat that ham sandwich, you know, or whatever. Or that broccoli, probably, right? But instead of making it about your willpower, what did Dr. Gill say? He said, it's got to be your heart power. Your heart's got to be inclined to him. How do you incline your heart to him? Think about how much he loves you. Let's say I'm Daddy Warbucks, and you needed a car, and you're 16. Right? And you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I'll ever get one, this and the thing. And Daddy Warbucks says, I love you so much. You're such a good kid. You're so awesome and all that. There's your new Mercedes. You'd be like, yes, I'll clean my room. Yes, I'll eat my broccoli. Yes, I'll do this. Yes, I'll do that. This can happen with you every day. That love is not an ending thing. It's a keep on going thing. You don't just do it in your mind. He'll find ways to do it in your heart. That's what the Bible clearly declares. We love him because he first loved us. If the love is waning, you got to plug back into that love. You say, but, you know, I'm not feeling it yet. Well, you do. You get there and just think about it. Ponder it. Preach to yourself. I've been chosen. I've been set free. He loves me. There's nothing I can do to stop his love for me. It's an amazing, incredible thing when this happens. So when you are feeling the low ebb and you're thinking, I just can't seem to get this done, think about it. There was Vera, and I was like, I just don't know. And then she was like, grabbed that phone and ran around saying my name, had me all to herself. And I know I was the most important person in her life right then. Wouldn't you like Jesus to come to you and make you feel like that? He can do it, and he does do it. When you first got saved, you thought, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And so our vision of Jesus gets clouded, and we get put down, and we think, this isn't working for me anymore. And okay, I know I'm supposed to go to church, so I'll go to church. I know I'm supposed to give, so I'll give. I know I'm supposed to forgive this other person, so I'll forgive them. But wouldn't you rather have it be something you have passion about? That you really spark, you do it because you want to. Right then, if Vera would have said, Papa, come to Oklahoma, I would have been, yeehaw! Right? Now think about it. You can apply it to your own situation. But I want to put it in the realm of possibility, because you know God can do anything, but let's just put it in the realm of human possibility. Then you're like, oh, then I know what can happen. Here's little Olive again, born on February 13th. And she doesn't talk or anything like that. All right? And we were worried, I'm going somewhere else. We were worried that she would be very, because she's just picky and fussy and just all, you know, she's a diva at 2 years old, easily. I know they all are, I'm just saying. And we were worried that she would be so jealous and just not good with Olive. But I could show you pictures now. She's holding, goes, baby. And she's like, no, give it back. In the hospital room, and you have a picture of her holding her and all these pictures. That's her baby. And so that child will grow up with Big Sister, knowing Big Sister loves her. I remember when little Dina Rosinski, right? And Isabella and Elizabeth just love me, and it's wonderful. But Dina did not seem like she did. She didn't at all. She would just, And then Dina and Isabella said, we know what to do. Take this piece of ice, remember, and put it in her mouth, and she'll love you forever. And so then she started looking for me. Of course, I couldn't approach her unless I had a piece of ice. But it grew. And Annie, you watch that young lady now, right? Does she run to me, right? Now imagine little Olive. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them kids. They're part of our church family. That's the way we're growing in love with Veronica, and we will with Vanessa, right? Right? Now imagine little Olive now, and she's not even, you know, just a little over a month old, and she doesn't speak, but what if she spoke and says, "Papa, come here now." Well, I would take that as a sign from God, wouldn't I? He's given you a sign today. He says, "Come here now. Come here now. I have it for you. You don't have the strength? I do. You don't feel it? I do." See, I wrote my wife a poem not long ago, and it says, all these things I love about her, the way she is, the things she likes, what she looks like, all these things. And the last line was, "I love you because you love me even when my love doesn't look like yours." So you think, I don't think, well, if my heart isn't in it, then I can't do it. No, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. And say, "God, help me with the want to." And how do you do that? We love him because he first loved us. Focus on his love for you, that he's forgiven you, that he continues to forgive you, that, boy, you make mistakes all the time. Even if it's not outright malice sin, if it is, he still forgives you. But if it's just like, I said something at the funeral I did the other day, and I thought, oh, boy, here we go again. Foot and mouth disease. But it's like, God still loves me? And then people started flooding in with texts saying, "Oh, that was incredible, this, that, and the other thing." And a man was wanting to know about salvation. And I mean, incredible things, right? His love for you. Just look at the text. In this is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us. That's something to think about. When you don't feel like you've got it, he does. That's how it started off. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. But I don't feel like loving Johnny. He makes me mad. Yes, but God loves me. And your kid does something, you're like, oh, man. Restriction forever. No. He still loves you. God still loves you. You mess up. You're in timeout right now. That's okay. God's right there in timeout with you. If we love one another, verse 12, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. I'm still working on that. I'm sure people are still working on that with me. Day by day, I love you. I don't love you so much. How do you incline your heart to God? You think about him. It says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us as a spirit. And we think, well, that means I'm going to run around and speak in tongues and do all this. I'm not saying you don't do that. I'm saying, is that what he's talking about? No, he describes it. We have seen and testified the Father has meant the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus, Son of God, abides in him and he in God. He gives you a spirit so you think, I know Jesus loves me and died for my sins. You can start with that. But that gets boring. Really? Don't beat yourself up if you think that, but investigate a little further the depth of what that really means. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. See it right there? It is right there in the text. So we have come to know. I don't have my interlinear with me right now, or my Greek New Testament, so I don't know if that's epinosis or gnosis or oide or whatever it is, but there is an experiential element to it in any event. We've come to know, we've come to feel, we've come to understand, not just in our head, but in our heart, the love God has for us. Do you know that love? You say, yes, I have known that love. Yes, I am trusting Jesus Christ for my salvation. But I just feel like I don't really want to pray. I don't pray good enough. Don't let what Dr. Gill said, because he didn't mean it that way, and I don't mean it that way, and the Bible doesn't mean it that way, and Jesus doesn't mean it that way, and the Holy Spirit doesn't mean it that way, and God the Father does not want you to feel like this is supposed to make you feel bad, but feel good. You feel good about God, and then you feel good about God. Get it? Get it? You see how good God feels about you because of what he has done for you, not because of what's in you, but what he's placed in you. You're worth something because the infinite value of the universe, the Holy Spirit, is in you. He says it right there in the text. We've come to know and to believe the love of God that has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected in us, so we have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. I'm walking around this world by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You want to preach to yourself every day? Preach Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now, see, like, does he contradict himself? No. The life I now live in the flesh, he just said, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's not how well I do, it's how well he's done, who loved me and gave himself for me. You're having a problem with getting over sin? Keep thinking about the love of God. Not to give you liberty to do whatever you want, but to give you liberty to actually serve him. And while you're doing that, he's not going to say, get up on that bike. You suck. You can't do this. You can't just say, okay, come on, get up. Okay, I'll take one training wheel off. I'll take two training wheels. Right? We think about that. God is patient with us. He was patient with us. We didn't even care about him, and he loved us. So what's he going to change that now? He's not going to change that now. Doesn't matter what anybody else is saying. We're just trying to help. But God's the one that loves you. God's the one that you need to feel. God's the one that will show through other people that they're being patient with him. If I come off as impatient to you, please forgive me. God's still working on me. In my best moments, in the most spirit-filled and anointed, or whatever words you want to use, what are those moments? When I know God's love for me, that's when God's love pours out of me, because you treat people like you think God's treating you. Whoops. And so you're going to transform and transcend that pain, or you're going to transmit that pain. But Jesus went through this ultimate pain, not just the physicality of the cross, bad enough, but the scorn of his own Father, taking the sins for you. Right? Imagine if someone was just ripping you off, and they were taking money right out of your pocket, smashing your car, doing all this kind of stuff. But they didn't know your little secret, that when anybody ever did that, you got twice back. They'd be like, go ahead and rip me up. I've got a source that can't end. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. How do you get along with other people? I've got something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, the devil can't touch, and you can't mess up. Sometimes I let it and all that because I forget God's love for me. Guess what, folks? I own the universe. Did you know that? And if you're Christian, so do you. You're not going to cash in on it all right now, but he'll let you cash in as you need to. When your feelings, don't do zero-sum feelings. Oh, they hurt my feelings, so I'm done with them forever. No. That's gone. You can fill it right back up. I still have love for you. Of course I do. Right? Isn't that the way it should work? Isn't that how you have peace in your soul and a sense of personal hope and a sound mind? Because he's given us a spirit of love. His love for us, that's how you love other people. He says so right in the text. It's very clear. There's no fear in love. Oh, I'm just afraid. I don't do good enough. I'm not praying long enough. I don't sound like JD when I pray. Good for you. I'm glad. And thou art, come on. Well, I don't sound like you, oh man, because, I'm talking to God like I really know God, yo, homeboy. What? You in your relationship with God or your personal relationship with God, you don't have to copy anybody else. Yeah, you'll learn the Christianese and you'll do this, that, and the other thing. And of course, you'll have your own style. Just like preaching. I used to think, man, I'm going to copy Adrian Rogers, man, because that's the man. But I don't sound like Adrian Rogers, and I'm not supposed to. Right? John MacArthur? Wonderful. Wow. But I'm not supposed to. Whoever else you could name. Don't pattern your life after anybody else. Pattern it after Jesus. And he's giving you plenty of time. He's like, you can't mess up. But I just fell down again. So? But I did it. So? I'll help you. No, that's okay. Wipe that off. Here's the back team. Get back up. Come on. Yeah. But you got to go do that. No, I got all the time in the world. I live in eternity. And so do you. You have eternal life. This world is just potter and clay stuff. Yeah. So we don't have to have this fear. Fear has to do with punishment. Oh, if I do this now, God's going to send me to hell. No, he's not going to send you to hell. Do you trust him for your salvation? You're going to heaven. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. You're fulfilling it right there. It means matured is what it means. You want to mature in love. You want to mature in loving other people and know what it really means and not just sentimentality or what the world thinks love is. If you want to mean it like Jesus means it, you find out how Jesus is it for you. And you ponder that and you preach that and you pray that. And you'll develop that, and your devotion will deepen. And that doesn't mean it's going to be, and that's one time, now I'm good. Because listen to me right here, J.D. Hatfield, I'm telling you, there are days when don't feel like doing it, man. And then you give me a call, and then I'm short with you, and not just because I'm 5'2". Everybody must be paying attention. No laughs today. We love because he first loved us. We know that for our salvation. We see that, you know, we're in trouble, but he's provided a solution. He's the Savior. And so that love compels us, constrains us, brings us towards him. Then we're in trials. And then, oh. But then they work something in us, and we sense, wow, God is loving me through this trial. Right? Then you got to talk to Dave. Oh, right? Or Dave's got to talk to Melissa, or moms, two moms. Oh, no, what are we going to do? Well, they've got their own issues. I know that too, Bubba. They know I got mine. How do you get along? You focus on Jesus. Not to the exclusion of everybody else, but you see them through that lens, because that's the lens that God's seen you through. And you think, if God's doing that through Jesus, and that's what he wants, and he's put his spirit in me, remember, we know because we've given him a spirit, test it out. And you'll find that there's this power in you that you didn't know you had. When you focus on God's love for you, that's how you have love for other people. That is definitely what he's saying in this passage. No question about it. And when you don't feel like talking to anybody else, you don't feel like going to church, you don't feel like going to that church, you don't feel like reading your Bible, you don't feel like talking to people about Jesus, you just feel like being mean and angry and hanging over in a corner over here somewhere. Or your prayer life isn't what it should be. And I don't talk to people about Jesus. I mean, I talked to a guy, Jehovah's Witness, yesterday for 20 minutes and put some rocks in his shoe and sent him on his way. And you think, and my wife was probably like, wow, that was amazing. Like, that's not the issue. The issue isn't having all the best arguments. The issue isn't having the best apologetic method. The issue is not studying at all. You do all those stuff. But when it comes right down to it, it's you're going to be as effective as you think God is loving you. I was talking to somebody this morning, and I was in my own heart thinking, man, I'm all calm about this deal. This is real cool. And I walk away thinking, because I walked in here today thinking, I know God loves me so much. And he gave his son for me. And I've seen death this week, and I've seen new life this week. But you're always going to see all that. The issues of death and life, it's all about who's in control, Jesus. And what does he do for you? He loves you. He loves you right now. Even if you think, I'm bored, I want to go home, or you're made me angry, he still loves you. And the more you understand that, the more you plug into that, the more you'll plug into other people and be able to deal with them, and they'll be able to deal with you. It's easy to deal with somebody that's lovely, right? We can become lovely when we look at the one who is love. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use the parts of this message that are glorifying to you and seal them to our hearts and incline our hearts to you, that we may worship you, that we may know your love for us, that we may shed that love abroad to others and in our own hearts and in our close family and in our church family and in our extended family and in all the neighbors of the world wherever we go, that we might show the love and life of Christ for his glory. And in his name we pray. Amen.